Hello and welcome to episode number 64, Nintendo 64 of the Nerd Stash Show for thenerdstash.com. I'm your host, Brandon Stevenson, and joining me today is Taylor Nintendo Cole. There you go, Taylor. There's your nickname. How you doing?
These nicknames are not going well, like in the slightest, but I'm doing pretty good. I'm actually upset now that you mentioned Nintendo 64. We could have had a Nintendo 64 themed episode, and I'm just upset at myself for not thinking of that.
Well, all right, we can just go ahead and scrap this 40 seconds that we've recorded so far and start all over if you want. No biggie on that one.
All right, so the nicknames. Just throw out the top 10 best Nintendo 64 games off the top of your head. No research at all. No time to think about it.
Ocarina of Time is 1 through 9, and then Super Mario 64 is number 10.
Does Mario Kart for the 64 make your list?
You know, Mario Kart 64 is a really good game at the time. I just think that the Mario Kart series is one of those franchises. It's one of those, a lot of racing games kind of fall into this, where it's like the sequel always bests the previous one, except for the fact that no Mario Kart has beaten Double Dash, but that's okay. That's another conversation. So it's like, you know, Double Dash was better than that. And you know, it happens a lot in racing games, right? Like Gran Turismo 2 is better than 1, 3 is better than 2, so on and so forth. So I think that Mario Kart 64 has a ton of iconic levels that I really wish that would come back. However, though, I don't necessarily know if I would call it a good game anymore, even though it's like that's controversial, that's for sure. Anyways,
you were pretty much about to go like Mario Kart for the 64 is complete trash.
No, it's just that, like, it's at the time it was a fantastic game. It's rough nowadays, and if I'm going to be playing a Mario Kart game, I'd much rather play Mario Kart 8 than Mario Kart 64.
I gotcha. Here's my one last game and then we can move on, because I'm just going to derail the show completely if I don't, you know, just get this out here. Donkey Kong Country.
Donkey Kong Country was a SNES game.
What is it called?
Are you thinking 64?
Donkey Kong 64, that's right.
There you go. It was peak collectathon. It's an okay game, without a doubt, but there's too many collectibles. Like, in terms of, like, the 3D platformers on the Nintendo 64, I mean, absolutely, obviously, Super Mario 64. And then Rare already did better compared to Donkey Kong 64 with Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie. However, Donkey Kong 64 does have a great edge on it because the Donkey Kong rap is iconic. And
wasn't that the beginning of the game every time you booted it up?
It might have been. I don't remember exactly where I was at, but I just remember the song quite a bit. And I actually sing it in my head all the time. Like, I'm sitting at work and I'm like, yeah, here we go.
I'm like, oh, definitely man. Not going to YouTube right now to look up the song.
So, yeah, there you go. Just saying. All right. We do have somebody else here who has been graciously quiet as we've been debating about what the best Nintendo 64 games are. And this is Gabe, and it's Logue, right?
Yes, yeah, correct.
All right, Gabe 64 Logue. Now we've completed the Nintendo 64. Gabe, how you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm thank you for asking. You know, it was a long day at work, long drive home. I actually left like 2 minutes earlier than I normally do. I normally leave at like 5:05, 5:06. I left at 5:01 or something, and I was still late. I got home at like 6 o'clock or something crazy like that. So the Pacific time, of course. What are your top 10 Nintendo 64 games? No research off the top of your head.
Oh my God. Well, Ocarina of Time definitely isn't on there for me. I'm not a
big
fan.
Did you just say is not?
Yeah, is not. Is not.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm glad that you enjoyed Gabriel on the show here, because he is no longer allowed.
He made it one episode in 4 minutes.
Yeah. Pretty impressive. That's like a new record, speed run.
That's right. No, I don't know. What would be my top 10 Nintendo 64 games? Star Wars Squadrons, I mean, obviously, is on there.
Okay, that's a good call there.
I don't think I'd put Mario Kart 64 on there. I agree with you that I like Double Dash a lot more. It's really hard. I didn't grow up with the Nintendo 64, actually, so I sort of played it on the peripherals. Like, I had friends who had it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't grow up with it. So I guess I don't have any sort of special attachment toward it.
That's okay. I just, it's really weird for me. Like, I love the Nintendo 64 to death. It's actually one of my, like, favorite consoles. Like, when I go back, I'm super nostalgic for it. I grew up on it, playing GoldenEye, Mario Kart 64, of course. You know, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, the list goes on and on. My actual list of top 10 games is a lot more than just Ocarina of Time and Super Mario 64, of course. But a lot of those games during that time have not aged well. I think that there's a lot more games on, like, the PS1 that have aged gracefully because, you know, like, I think of, like, Final Fantasy VII, which I have not played in full. I have only played the first couple of hours, but, like, that game has still aged better than a lot that was on the Nintendo 64 because, of course, like, the perspective, right? The 2D, 3D hybrid that it had going on. I think of games like Mega Man X. 4 was on the PS1. 4 through, what, 6 were on the PS1. And those games have aged better because the 2D perspective, you know, they're not soulful 3D. Like, a lot of the 3D games during that era just have not aged gracefully. And I think that a lot of people have a tendency to think that they were still, or that they still are, fantastic games. It's not that they're not. It's just, you know, they're still just a little rough around the edges.
But anyways, hey, Brandon, here's the thing.
Yeah, sure.
I believe if people do want to hear our opinions on, like, 10 of the best Nintendo 64 games of all time, we do have an episode of that, though.
We did. We did one through every
console generation. Did we not? I think we did. I think we went through...
I know we did.
The N64. I know we got to the GameCube. I'm not sure if we got all the way to the Xbox One and PS4, but I know we did the N64 for sure.
We did, yeah. I think it's... We had the plans of course, like, going through them all, and then we kind of got derailed with between, like, quarantine, and there was a bunch of news that was coming out, like, with all the E3 cancellations.
Well, I think the plan was for us to, like, get the next-gen consoles and play next-gen games on it, and then, you know, COVID happened, and these next-gen consoles became, like, you trying to find treasure in a very tough video game where, you know, you had to collect 50,000 feathers, and then you could finally get the treasure.
Yeah.
So, and then no games really have come out for these consoles exclusively, other than a few like Returnal and upcoming Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart.
Oh, yes. Yes. Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart is my jam. Even though I have not watched, I've seen like GIFs of people that have been posting stuff, but I've not watched any of the stuff because I just am kind of on blackout with it. Anyways, we're not here to talk about Nintendo 64. Taylor, yes, great plug. You can listen to an old episode. I don't remember the number, but just search on Podbean or your favorite podcasting service for Nerdstash Show, top 10 Nintendo 64 games, and it'll pull up. What we are here, though, to discuss is video games, so we aren't too far off. Don't forget, though, that you can check out thenerdstash.com, your source for all the nerdy news. Don't forget to subscribe on the podcast platform of your choice. And then we just launched, two weeks ago, a new Discord server, TNS Network. There will be a link to the channel in the description here where you can come and just hang out and talk with some like-minded people and promote your own work. If you're a streamer or if you write on another website or anything like that, we want you to be able to share with the community that we are building here whatever it is that you're working on. So if that's the major reason why that you want to come on, come on. But let's talk about some video games on there. I don't really know what else was that I needed to say. So let's just go ahead and move on. I got a little derailed because of the Nintendo 64 thing. But let's go ahead and move on, and we will talk about what we are playing. So Taylor, I'm going to go ahead and kick it off to you first due to the fact that you are the first on the list here. So what are you playing?
Okay, so first off, this is the last thing I promise you, Brandon. This is the last thing I'll say about Nintendo 64. But I just listened to the DK rap, and it's just like a flood of memories came back.
And yeah, I'm going to listen
to this thing on repeat once we get done recording. I can guarantee it. It's a banger. That's all I'm going to say. As for what I've been playing, I mentioned last week I was playing For Honor again. Still playing that here and there. It's still pretty fun. It's not like, again, it's not a great game in my opinion. It's just a very fun game, especially when you kind of get it the basics down and you start to learn each character. It starts to become this kind of, you do get better as you play. It doesn't feel like it's just luck. So I really like that kind of rewarding experience. I've also been playing Batman Arkham City. I got the Arkham Collection last year, I think. I think it was on sale, and I never really played it. So I just started playing it this weekend, and Arkham City is awesome. Like, it is crazy to me that game came out, like, 10 years ago, I think.
Yeah, 2012, I believe, is when it came out. I love Arkham City. I have not actually played Arkham City since it first launched, but I was a huge fan of it, without a doubt.
Wikipedia says October 18th, 2011.
2011, so just before 2012. I do remember I was in my very first apartment playing that game. I did not have my heat turned on, and so I was freezing while I was playing that game. And then, of course, ironically, I eventually hit Mr. Freeze, and I was cold on the inside, on the outside, and I was cold as Batman.
See, that's the thing I think Arkham Knight, it's missing. I love Arkham Knight story-wise, and I like its ending. But at the same time, like, Arkham City had the boss fights down. I think Arkham Knight really goes, hey, you like the Batmobile? Not really. It's okay, I guess. Well, how about you use the Batmobile in everything?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Can we have a boss battle? Well, you can have a boss battle with the Batmobile. I was like, okay, can I have... It's a 1v1 fight with Deathstroke. Can I at least have that? Just redo the fight from Arkham Origins. Oh yeah, we can have a rematch with Batmobile.
That's funny, actually. Yeah, the Batmobile with the third game was definitely a huge annoyance, without a doubt. But I think that people were kind of giving that game a little more flack than it probably deserved. I think that it's still
its
overall
PC
pretty,
port
pretty good
was.
Game.
I remember the PC port being very, very bad. Like, refundable kind of bad.
Yeah, I don't really play on PC too much, so.
I remember that I don't remember. As well. That story, at least.
Nice, yeah. And actually, speaking of Gabe here, what are you playing?
Yeah, I haven't been playing a whole heck of a lot. I picked up Bloodborne again. I started on the save that I left on, you know, for a couple months ago. I realized that, like, I'm at the very end of the base game, and I'm actually going through the Old Hunters DLC, which is, like, considered by a lot of people to be one of, like, the best DLCs ever released for any video game, full stop. It, like, adds on, like, a whole another 8 hours to the game, so that's pretty cool. I'm stuck on a boss, as you often do when you're playing a Souls-like game. Soulsborne, right? And yeah, I'm just having fun trying to get past. So I'm stuck on, her name is Lady Maria of the Astral Clock Tower, and she is tough. Like in any other video game, she would probably be the last boss, but in Bloodborne, you know, she's just another boss. She does a crazy amount of damage, has a crazy amount of range. She can teleport, like, across the room. So, yeah, it's frustrating. That's all I've been playing, basically, trying to defeat Lady Maria.
Awesome. I've talked about Bloodborne like a dozen times on the show. It's not for me. I've gotten my face kicked in too much. Taylor, have you ever played Bloodborne?
I probably would have a heart attack based on how many times I would just die and get increasingly frustrated. And I'm a guy who doesn't get that frustrated playing video games. Like, I'll play Call of Duty with friends and they just die in Warzone, and it's like the world is ending. And I'll just be like, well, all right, let's run the next game. But for some reason, I play, like, Bloodborne or Dark Souls, and it just makes my blood boil, like, terribly bad. Like, I seriously might die playing one of those games.
Sorry.
No, that's totally fine. I was just going to say, note to self, don't ever let Taylor play those games.
Please don't.
Yeah, I think some of the difficulty, especially with Bloodborne, I've never played any of the other Soulsborne games, but I think some of the difficulty maybe is blown a little bit out of proportion. I was just thinking about this today. I think it's sort of like just like any other RPG where, like, yes, the bosses are extremely difficult the first time that you face them, but given enough time, you know, you can just grind out levels. I mean, that I know some people don't really like grinding in video games, which I totally understand. But you can grind through game levels. The more you invest into the game, the more the game will reward you. It's definitely not a passive experience at all. And that's something mm-hmm. that I really like about it.
I think that's actually a really great point that the difficulty is somewhat kind of, it's almost memeified at this point. It's not really, it doesn't mean anything. It's just that, like, my problem, like the problem that I've been having with like Demon Souls, which I was playing on PS5, is that like I would sit there and play something for 2 hours and I would just die because of I did one extra slice of my sword or whatever what the reason is, and I would lose all that progress 2 hours, and then I would try and go and do it again, and then sometimes I get a little bit further, and then again one miscalculation and I lost everything. And like I just wish that there was like a, I don't know, like a checkpoint system, I guess, like some form of a checkpoint system. I know that would be like complete blasphemy, but it's just like, why can't I have, at least just in Demon Souls, I don't know exactly what like Dark Souls, they might have some form of a checkpoint system, but you know, I've talked about it just with other like roguelikes, for instance, like I was playing a little bit of Dead Cells and Into the Gungeon a few weeks back. And it's just like those games, I never really truly felt like I was getting, like I felt like my skill was getting better, but like my character wasn't necessarily getting better, if that makes sense. Like it never got easier for me that way. So I don't know, but I totally get what you're saying on that. I guess that means it's my turn for what I've been playing. I've been actually playing a handful of things. So I was playing, what's that game called? Outriders. And really, 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 really dig this game. I think that Outriders has kind of gotten the short end of the stick for some reason. I think that some people aren't giving it as much praise as it really deserves. I think that the game is super fun to play. The gunplay is just there. The shotgun especially, I mean, it feels just straight up like Gears of War, which I do know that People Can Fly worked on a Gears of War title, but the story is really interesting, especially at the end. It kind of has some like the thematics that it goes through and just how it kind of plays out is really fun. I do think that it introduces too many characters that end up not being quite as important as they initially seem. I also talked about it a couple weeks ago that the voice acting, at least for the male Outrider, is just absolute just hot trash. It's just not good. It's all over the place. It's really frustrating. The game is also kind of glitchy. Even on the final cutscene of the game, my audio was out of sync and it was driving me up the wall. I'm like, wow, this would be a really cool cutscene to watch if it weren't for the fact that, you know, the characters were animating and then the vocals would come out 3 or 4 seconds later. And I'm really glad that I had subtitles on because I wouldn't have known what was actually going on if that weren't the case. But yeah, it's an awesome game. I did play a little bit of the end game, which are called expeditions. They're basically just these like time challenges. It's like you get dropped into an area and you have to clear through all the enemies within a certain amount of time. The faster that you do it, the better gear that you get. I don't know if I'm going to keep playing this game much anymore with the end game, because it's all kind of about the gear at this point. Now that there's no story, I can go back and play some of the side missions, of course, that I missed. But the end game isn't really all that interesting to me, if that makes sense. It's primarily just because like I did a couple of expeditions and I didn't get any really like interesting gear. And I know that it's completely random, so that doesn't really mean anything. But it's like if I'm not getting better gear and I'm not chasing the story or I'm not chasing any of that stuff, like I don't really know what else I want to play this game for right now. But that does not mean that the game is bad. I actually really wish that I had played this game on PlayStation and not on Xbox, because I got it, of course, on Game Pass, which I'm super thankful for. But I actually wish I owned the game. And since I'm borrowing an Xbox Series S for my work, I don't want to spend the $70 on owning the game and this and that, whatever, because it's not my Xbox, which I don't know. Anyways, and so I really wish that these guys would introduce cross progression at some point in time in the future, but definitely two thumbs up. Check out Outriders. It's a super awesome game. It is a little long too. I think that's the last thing that I just want to say about it.
I have three major reasons why I think Outriders has gotten the reputation it deserves. And these are kind of the reasons why I also fell off personally. One, all the server issues. Like,
oh, I didn't have
this game was what I don't even know what to call it because I feel like I'm underselling and how bad the servers were. Like, it was god awful.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of people online talking about that. I was very fortunate enough that I didn't run into any server issues. I had the game crash on me, I think twice. But server issues, I mean, like, I would just hit A to log in and it takes the, you know, 60 seconds to log in. I never had an issue with the service, but I totally understand because I saw some people being like, I waited for like 4 hours to get in and it never let me in.
And the two other things is the fact that it's a loot game and that has a stigma to it as well, especially because, you know, The Division 2, Destiny 2, Marvel's The Avengers, Anthem, go on and on. It kind of has that reputation behind it. Not saying all of those are bad. I actually think The Division is a really good game. Like, I think it's a fantastic game. Same thing with Destiny 2. But a lot of those titles missed the mark. So I feel like a lot of people had that thought in their head about these loot-based games. Like, oh, God, here's another one of them. And the third reason I think a lot of people have fallen off is the loot. I don't think it's as epic as the game makes out to be. Like,
it's definitely not.
I don't think a game has properly put out loot in a way that, like, oh man, I can't wait to get this, other than Borderlands. They're the only game to me that I think knows how to do that right. When it comes to, hey, we're going to incentivize loot and make you want to get this gun. And here's why.
I mean, I think that there's a couple of different golden eras of Destiny between Destiny 1 and Destiny 2 where, like, the loot was really fun to chase. I very specifically loved chasing after Galahorn back in the day on Destiny. But, yeah, the loot, I mean, like I said, like, I didn't, the last couple of, I guess, side missions and expeditions that I did in Outriders, it gave me guns that were not as good as the guns that I already had. So I was like, okay. And the loot drop is based on your world tier, the world tier that you're on, which is basically like the difficulty system. So when you play on a higher world tier, you get better loot. And, you know, which kind of sucks because I didn't feel like that I was getting not even like the most powerful loot, but just even like the most interesting loot at a good clip. There would be long stretches of the game where I was still using, you know, what the blue rarity. I don't know what that was, but that's basically like the second
rare, I
think. Yeah, like the, I think that's like the just like middle tier, because it's like you have your white, which is
always uncommon.
Yeah, you have like your white, which is like your super uncommon or whatever, and then you have your uncommon, then your rare, then your epic, and then your legendary. So it was like the middle of the road, and I was using that shotgun through like most of the game because it was so powerful compared to some of the stuff that I was getting even as I was playing on higher difficulties and whatnot. So I never really felt like super compelled by the loot. But when I did get an awesome, like, I got this shotgun that's basically like a, I don't know, like a piece of bone. I don't know. It looks really cool and whatnot, but like it causes all this like additional damage. Like you shoot somebody and it does like 10,000 damage. And then if it kills them, it does like 7,000 of splash damage. And so like I'm just firing off one shot and it's killing like 5-6 enemies at the same time. And I'm like, this is awesome. But then like I never got anything else quite like that. And I know that there is cool loot. It's just, you got to kind of grind it out to get there. So I'm like, I'm okay right now. I've played it. I really enjoyed it. It's probably, in terms of games that have released this year, it's definitely my game of the year, but I don't think it's going to stay there at all. But I totally understand why you kind of fell off, Taylor. But I just think that it's a really, really awesome game, without a doubt. Yeah,
the only thing I will say in its defense is I loved its powers. Like,
the powers are really
for
fun, too.
Character, like, the weird thing, though, to me, too, is you have four of them, but you can only play with three people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, they have four different classes.
Based off the beginning, you think it's a four-player game, and then the game goes, no, it's only three. Like, okay, what? Oh, I guess that works. I don't know why you did that, but that's a choice. But I do love all the powers. It makes you it makes each game you jump into feel different mm-hmm. when you jump into a lobby with other people. Like, I had one instance, because I was the Earth person, I forgot the name of it, but I had this thing to where I could deflect bullets, so I essentially was the tank of the team here. I'm just going around just deflecting bullets back, I'm just being the bullet sponge myself, while the other guys go around and kill the enemies with their trickster class, or whatever it was called. It's been a while, I don't know the names.
That's okay. I mean, I don't think that there's, like, it's not quite as, like, legendary, so to speak, or, like, iconic as what, like, Destiny did, right? With, like, the Titan, the Hunter, and the Warlock. I do think that a lot of the proper nouns in this game are super generic. The Trickster, I mean, that's a clever name, but it, like, doesn't really make sense other than the fact that it's, like, you're teleporting short distances. But anyways, yeah, like I said, great game overall. Really enjoyed it. The other game that I've been putting some time into is Stranded Deep, which is a PlayStation Plus game right now, where you are you're stranded on an island and you need to survive. And I talked about it a couple weeks ago that I've been eyeballing this game, but I'm so glad that I never pulled the trigger. One, because I'm not a huge survival game fan. I don't typically play that genre. But two, I also don't really know if I like this game so much. It's not bad. It's just, I've played like 5 or 6 sessions of it, and I can't make it past like day 4. I can't really make it to another island. I've gotten to other islands, but I just like instantly die because I run into like an enemy that kills me, or I don't have enough resources, or whatever the case is. And it's also like super low budget. You can very clearly tell, or at least it feels like that it's a Unity game, but it feels like that it was only made by like 2 or 3 people. It's just like super low budget, low quality. I've ran into like a bunch of glitches where like I'll just be sitting in my inflatable raft that you start off with, and it'll just like flip out of nowhere. Like I was trying to go to the next island, and then like I like look down at my phone and then I look back up and I'm like, what happened? How did I get in the ocean out of nowhere? And it also, I think it starts off with the tutorial. It's like, okay, here's how, you know, you start the game, here's how you can do a few things, kind of teaches you all the systems, and then it ends the tutorial when you build a shelter so that you can save the game and sleep. I kind of wish that the game still had more tutorials to teach you, essentially. Like, I wish that it would at least give you a tutorial to where that you can be self-sustainable on the first island with no issues. So, I don't know. It's fun. I'm probably going to keep playing it. I just will probably end up looking up like tutorials and guides and whatnot, which I know sort of defeats the purpose of survival games. That's just, I don't know if I'm going to spend, I'm not going to just beat my head up against the wall to just try and have fun with that game.
Let me know if you don't feel like I'm just interrupting and like not letting you speak. So jump in when you want, but
oh yeah, definitely.
I wanted to bring up Stranded Deep because I thought this was a game that I talked about previously.
Yeah, Raft.
Sadly, it wasn't. No. I got like really excited when you started talking about it. I was like, wait a minute. We did a show. I don't mean to keep plugging our past episodes, but we did a show like 5 games we would take with us on a deserted island. And I found this game that sounded a lot like what you're talking about. And I was like, oh man, yeah. Is he playing that? Oh man, no. I'm about to go download it now. And then I went to go check. It was Wrath. And I was like, oh man, that's disappointing. But I still might go check out that game because that sounds really cool.
Raft or Stranded Deep?
Both, but more specifically Stranded Deep right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's free on PlayStation Plus, so if you have access to it, I mean, there's literally no barrier of entry outside of course PlayStation Plus. But it's fine. It's fun. I've enjoyed my time with it. I've put in like 2 or 3 hours, but I'm not like super in love with it. And then I'll just wrap up because we've been going a little long on this, but 2 other games that I've been playing. I actually can't remember one of them now. That's fantastic. The other one is just Ratchet and Clank on the PS Vita. I'm trying to get myself like excited. Not that I need to be any more excited. I'm just trying to kind of get back in that Ratchet and Clank mindset. I love that franchise. I love the series. So I'm playing Ratchet and Clank 2 on Vita. The Vita port is a little rough, but it is still super fun to play that game. And I totally want to platinum it on Vita. And I'm sure I'll be able to. I never got the platinum on PS3, but it's because something that happened. But anyways, yeah. So I'm just waiting for Ratchet and Clank at this point. And I really, oh, you know what the other one was? Tony Hawk's. But I don't have anything left to say about it other than the fact that I'm still grinding it out, no pun intended, for the that platinum trophy. So that's all that I've been playing, quite a bit actually, which I'm really surprised about because I normally don't have time to play games. I'm just going to take a quick swig of water here so that way we can get into the rest of the show. Good radio. Good radio.
You could always edit it out.
That's probably not going to get edited out.
Just leave the awkward pauses then. Is it awkward enough?
Oh man, I wanted it to go longer, but you stopped it there. All right, let's go on now to the rest of the show. So let's do some quick hits. So the new Battlefield game is set to be revealed here in June, so just a few weeks. But in a recent earnings call, EA confirmed that the next Battlefield game will be revealed in June. The game is currently scheduled to release between October 1st and December 31st. It's also important to note that the next Battlefield game will release on last-gen consoles alongside the Xbox Series X and S, PS5, and PC. I know a lot of people are a little disappointed by that. And then, of course, this is all interesting when you consider that EA Play Live is happening on July 22nd instead of its usual June time slot. Taylor, I know that you're a big first-person shooter fan, so are you excited about the new Battlefield game and all?
Very excited for a new Battlefield game. I have heard great things based on like the rumors going around. Like the rumor, I was reading like one rumor like saying the destruction's gonna be crazy and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I'm like, all right, let's do this, like, so let's have this next gen Battlefield. And then as soon as I saw like, oh, it's gonna be on last gen too, I kind of got like just a little disappointed, I guess, or deflated, I guess is the best way to put it, because I don't think it's going to be on the same level of like something like Cyberpunk, because that's like, oh, that's horrible. But you do have to wonder, what is it going to be if it's going to be on both gen?
Yeah, I wonder if they're doing kind of like what Capcom did with Resident Evil 8, which just, of course, recently released, where like Resident Evil 8 seemingly was built for current generation title consoles, so PS5, Xbox Series X, and then they sort of downscaled it. So I wonder if EA is able to do that, where they
possible.
Were building it for the new gen, but then they just happen to scale it back. So like the PS4 version won't have quite as crazy destruction as the PS5 version will. Gabe, what about you? Are you excited about this at all?
Yeah, so when I first read the story, I wasn't super excited. You know, it's just another Battlefield game, right? The last Battlefield game I played was actually Battlefield 4. So I didn't play any of the World War I, World War II stuff.
So when they went to Battlefield 1 and then to Battlefield 5.
yeah, exactly. So I wasn't super excited, but then I saw a rumor, actually, a different rumor, that it's supposed to take place in the near future, in like the 2030s or something like that. And that sort of made me more excited. And the more and more I thought about it, the more excited I got, because, you know, I really like Battlefield. I like, you know, its epic scale and vehicle combat and all those different things. But I'm so burnt out still from like World War II shooters, right? There were so many that were released back in the day, and I'm just, you know, to this day, like, I could never play another World War II shooter in my life and I would be completely happy. So, you know, them going back to modern / near future, that definitely makes me more excited for it.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll have more to discuss obviously once they reveal that trailer. I should also note too that the trailer, I don't know if the trailer itself is leaked, but there's been a ton of leaks.
The audio for it leaked.
Yeah, the audio. I know that there's like a prominent leaker who's been like drawing frames of it like on Microsoft Paint or whatever, so you can probably find this trailer somehow, some way, on the internet right now. Continuing forward with EA, developer Velen Studios and EA have announced that Knockout City will have a block party to kick off its launch, meaning basically that the game will have a 10-day free trial starting on May 21st. Taylor, I believe you hopped in the open beta, so are you excited about this at all?
I put this story on the show notes completely selfishly, because I listened to last week's episode, and I know you guys weren't fully in on this game, but this game was so fun when I played it on when the open beta came out. I played it on the last day of the beta. There was only a few hours left, and I was like, oh, I'll try it out. Ended up playing this beta until the beta ended 6-7 hours later. That's how fun it was. I can't wait for it to come out. I think this is a great idea. The, like, hey, 10-day free trial. You guys see what you think.
So
if you do get EA, was it Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which includes EA Play or whatever it's called. So you would get it free if you have Game Pass Ultimate. But for those on PlayStation or those who don't have Game Pass Ultimate, this is a very good, hey, let's see what this game is and if it's worth it.
Yeah, I think the last time I was on, we talked about this game, and I said, you know, the look of it doesn't really grab me, but I'd be really interested to play it. So, and I'm not on Xbox, right? I have a PS4, so this sounds great for me. And I'm, like, interested to hear you say that you really enjoyed it. So the gameplay is rock solid, huh?
It is very... It's not, like, too difficult. Like, you'll get the hang of it. I just like how it's so simple. But then you start to, like, find little strategies on how to knock people out. And I just find it very fun. Plus, you could roll... Like, I was playing with a team, and we were all on a party together. So... It'd be like, they'd have all sorts of dodgeballs, all sorts of, and we have nothing. So I just roll up into a ball, and I can pretty much become an ultimate attack, like a bomb. So they can escape, and I can might be able to take one out. Like, yeah, stuff like that, I just think it's a very fun idea. It's not overpowered, really.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that definitely sounds cool. And yeah, I mean, I totally agree, like, to me, this game, like, it sounds cool, but I don't really know if there would be any way that I would play this game. But knowing that there is at least a 10-day free trial, that it's like, all right, let me give it a shot. However, I kind of just missed the days of in perpetuity demos where it was just you can just play something, try it out at your leisure. I'm kind of really tired of these, like, time demos. I know, well, like, Resident Evil was going through this problem.
I don't think there's a way they could do that. Because I mean, it is basically, it's Rocket League, essentially, with dodgeball. You can't really demo with that.
Yeah, I mean, I do now. I don't know if there's like multiple maps and whatnot, but I do remember that there were some games on like the PS3 where you would get the multiplayer demo and it allowed you to just play like on one map. I don't think you can party up. I mean, there's ways that you could probably go
that
about
is true.
It.
But I do remember games that were like that back in the day.
Yeah,
and
so like
you had one map you could play, like you said, no partying up, and you could play it as much as you want.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, like in first person shooters, it's like maybe you only get access to like 3 or 4 weapons or whatever it is. So like you at least get a taste of the game. And again, you can kind of play at your own leisure and whatnot. So I kind of wish that we would get back to that, but I totally understand. It's like, hey, you only have 10 days to play this. You got to try it out. But May 21st, I'll definitely be keeping my eyeball on that. And you do get the full game. Yeah, yeah. And then moving on now here to our final quick hits. In a brief video, new Overwatch 2 game director Aaron Keller revealed that Blizzard will show more Overwatch 2 info on May 20th via a 2-hour stream. Again, this stream will take place on May 20th at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. Furthermore, the stream will also take a look at the PvP changes that are coming to the game. Gabe, do you play Overwatch at all? Are you excited about this?
I've never played Overwatch, and the reason I've never played Overwatch is because I was waiting to get a PC to play Overwatch. I know there's console ports, but I didn't want to get... I've heard that PC is the experience, right, to play this game. Mm-hmm. So, no, I've never played it. And, you know, after that window, you know, what, like 5 years ago now when it came out, you know, I was excited for it, and it looks interesting, but yeah, I've never played it and never had really a yearning to go back and make myself play it.
Taylor, what about you? You excited about this at all?
First up, Brandon, I do apologize for that write-up. That is the most awkward write-up I've ever done on the show. And
it's all right.
Props to you for getting that out and making it sound somewhat coherent. I am excited for Overwatch 2. But I don't really know what they're going to be doing. kind of excited to see what this video is going to be, this stream. So I'm just going to hold my opinions on it until we see that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. And seems like that there's a little bit of turmoil that's going on at Blizzard, but that's another conversation. Oops, sorry. I just hit my mic there.
There's no controversy going on. It's not like their head studio person left after, you know, being there for years and years and was an icon there.
Yeah, almost 20 years. Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah, unfortunately. All right, moving on now to our story of the week. PlayStation Studios lead Herman Holst, formerly, of course, of Guerrilla Games, spoke with Wired about some upcoming PS5 titles. According to Wired, Holst said that PlayStation has more than 25, yes, 25, put that together, 25 titles in development for the PlayStation 5, and nearly half of them are entirely new IPs. Holst also boasted about the variety in these games, saying, quote, there's an incredible amount of variety originating from different regions, big, small, different genres, end quote. It's important to note that this doesn't mean that these 25 titles are all first-party games from PlayStation. There's definitely some iffy branding stuff going on with the PlayStation Studios. Basically, it's just they brand anything that's like funded by Sony as a PlayStation, what do they call it, PlayStation Original or something like that. That's that logo that happens at the front of these games now. Sony's Eric Lempel previously spoke with GamesIndustry.biz back in May 2020 and said this, quote, if our studios are managing the production of these games and working with an external developer, it will still come out under the PlayStation Studios brand. There it is. That's what it was. I just needed to read a little further. It doesn't mean that we outright own the developer, but it means we brought it up as a first party. In a lot of cases, we don't own the developer, end quote. So Taylor, this is it. This is the stake to drive through Microsoft's heart and just say a big old F you, and we are winning this console generation. And we are, this is PlayStation's big dick swinging right now, right? Boom.
I'm so glad we're an explicit podcast, by the way.
We are.
Curse freely. This is really fucking stupid. Every time like a Microsoft one comes up and it's like, oh, is this the one that puts PlayStation out of its misery? And then Nintendo comes out with another rumor about the Super Nintendo Switch, which it definitely should be called that. But regardless, let's get back to this story before I go off on a tirade here. Console wars are stupid. That's all I'm saying here. When it comes to this story specifically, I think it's both a big deal and kind of not, because it really does seem like they're playing around with the branding of PlayStation Studios. So I don't really know what that means. But at the same time, we were talking a few weeks ago about PlayStation going for just home run hits, and that's all they care about now. It's kind of reassuring to hear that, no, we still care about other kinds of games. Just give us a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... Oh, sorry, Gabe, go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think they're kind of studio shopping, right? Like, I think since, like, back in 2018, right, they struck a deal with Insomniac to bring Spider-Man to Sony consoles exclusively. And this is before they owned them, right? And Spider-Man was a huge success, and they ended up buying Insomniac as a first-party developer. So I think the strategy here for them is to partner up with a bunch of third-party developers, fund the games, publish the games, and then, you know, try to see what happens. If there's a huge success somewhere, then maybe they have that conversation, like, do you really want to be owned by Sony? Do you want to come under, you know, the PlayStation Studios brand in, you know, properly? I think that's kind of what's going on here.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point. I will also just kind of say we do know to some extent, and Jim Ryan, based on his name, he has kind of talked about the fact that they aren't necessarily looking to buy. I'm sure that they will always buy somebody if the price is right. Obviously, you look at Insomniac Games, the price was absolutely right, and that was just a marriage made in heaven, basically. But they've kind of talked about the fact that they're like looking to build internal studios and kind of build them out. And so like there's all these rumors that like Naughty Dog has a couple of teams, Sony Santa Monica has a couple of teams, right? So it wouldn't surprise me if it's, you know, yes, they've talked about the fact that some of these are externally developed or whatever, but I think this is just kind of also some confirmation that that's really what's happening. I mean, would you really want to partner up? Because they own, what, 12 studios right now? Would you really be trying to partner up with 13 sort of non-PlayStation studios? Or is that also like Corey Barlog's game? Is it, you know, what's going on with Uncharted? And what about what's that studio? Sony Ben. I keep forgetting names all of a sudden. I need to eat is what it is. And, you know, so it's great to know that Sony is investing in both first and second party and third party and who knows whatever else at this point, because yeah, I mean, this gets me excited. I was joking. I don't think that this is like the death nail in the coffin of Xbox. I don't think that's happening, but this is definitely some positive news that I think that Sony and PlayStation has desperately needed over the last couple of weeks, because yeah,
that is true.
There was some doom and gloom going on.
Yeah, we were talking about weeks ago, like, we were pretty much concerned. I think you were on that show, Brandon, as well. But we were talking about PlayStation having so many, like, it felt like they had that mindset of, we want Last of Us 2, we want Ghost of Tsushima, we want God of War, and that's kind of where they're at right now, is that's all they're looking to hit, is those cinematic masterpiece kind of games. Not saying they're all masterpieces, just that type of game. But it is good to see, like, hey, we're going for these other genres. We kind of know what a few of these games are. Like, these 25 games, a few of them already been announced. Like, I'm assuming God of War 2 is under that banner. Assuming Horizon Zero Dawn 2 is under that banner. I can't think of any others. But
yeah,
still,
I mean,
that's a lot of games, even when you consider we already know.
Yeah, and that's like, a good point. I mean, it might be like, too. Yeah, and it might be like Ratchet as well and stuff like that. But Gabe, take a shot in the dark here. What's a game that is under that we maybe don't know about? Like, are we getting a sequel? Are we getting Last of Us Part 3? Is it, you know, Days Gone 2, even though we know that's not a real thing anymore? But what do you think's happening in these 25 games?
Yeah, so I think the interesting part of this story to me is they said that like almost half of these 25 titles are new IP, right? So that's kind of what I'm most interested in. I definitely think you're right. We definitely know what some of these are. I believe they didn't state it explicitly, but I believe Ratchet and Clank is under that banner. I believe God of War, Ragnarok. I don't know if that's the official name or if that's just the rumored name at this point, but I believe that's under the banner Horizon Forbidden West, right? But then there's sort of, I'm interested in the new IP, and I don't really know what that could mean, or I hope they partner up with some really good third party studios and come out with something that will surprise us.
No, I agree. Do you think that there's any possibility that the new IPs might be like a licensed product? Like, do you think that we're like, maybe PlayStation is teaming up with Marvel again to get another Marvel game, or maybe they're partnering up with DC to maybe get a DC game of some sort? Do you think there's that possibility?
Oh, that's a good point. I hadn't considered, like, when I hear new IP, I sort of automatically think of just something completely brand new. But you're right, like, Injustice, which is the DC fighting game, is its own IP. So that could mean that they're partnering up with, you know, a huge, huge hitter like that. I definitely think it means another Spider-Man game for sure. Maybe they spin off Miles Morales into its own kind of series, and they sort of have two kind of Spider-Man series going on at the same time. Maybe it's a case like every couple of years they come out with a mainline Spider-Man game, and then in between development for those, they come out with a smaller Miles Morales game, and then Miles Morales kind of becomes its own IP. That would be really interesting, I think.
Yeah, that would actually. That's a pretty interesting point. What about like any possibility that we'll get like a Shadow of the Colossus 2 out of this?
Oh, I don't think so.
No.
Maybe something akin to that, but I don't think we'll get specifically Shadow of the Colossus 2. Something that we know is coming is I forget the name of the developer, but I'm actually kind of interested in Kena?
Bridge of Spirits? Kena. Oh yeah, that game looks great.
Yeah, it looks interesting to me. I was just reading about it yesterday. Apparently, an animation studio is making it, and this is like the first game that they've made, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, then that's basically what it is. So our old co-host here, Johnny Reynolds, he was a huge fan of just this game. And yeah, it's made by Ember Labs, and they're an animation studio. This is their first game. But they also have already kind of talked about the fact, I think in the same Wired article or whatnot, but they are going to do another game on PS5. So I think maybe that's also part of it. So yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to see if Sony, and you know, to your point, Gabe, it would be really interesting if this was Sony's way of kind of like auditioning these teams, and maybe they do want to buy one of them, you know, whatever these third party studios are, have them be a second party studio right now, and then you buy them. And I wonder if Kena could really, or that the Ember Labs could be that studio that they buy, primarily because Sony's also been interested in doing TV shows, right? We know that there's going to be a Twisted Metal TV show. Obviously, we know The Last of Us. We know that they're working on a Ghost of Tsushima movie. How smart would it be for them to have an in-house animation studio? Obviously, yes, you can go to Naughty Dog and be like, hey, can you do some of the CG for Clicker or whatever on The Last of Us TV show? But how cool would it be for them to go to Ember Labs and be like, oh, by the way, I know that you're working on Kena too, but here we are. We need you to make the CG for X, Y, and Z or whatever. I think that would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, totally. Well, the thing that I hope doesn't happen is that, you know, well, I don't think that they're going to come out and say that they're auditioning studios, but I think that's what's going on. And the thing that I hope doesn't happen is, let's say Kena Bridge of Spirits does amazing, right? And Sony decides to buy them. I hope it isn't a case where they just take the talent from that team and make them work on Naughty Dog projects. I hope they get
seemingly
them.
What's happening or what has happened.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I hope that they would, if they were to do that, I hope that they would give them, because I'm interested to see what games can be made, more so than, you know, buying a team just to get that talent to work for, you know, to do the animations for Last of Us Part 3. That, I feel like that's kind of a shame. Like, that's kind of a waste, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I feel the same way with any time that a team kind of gets demoted like that. Like, what happened with, like, Vicarious Visions and whatnot? I'm sure they wanted to work on Diablo 2 Remastered, but it's like, man, they are finally getting the chance to kind of lead the way on a game. You know, it seemed like that they did such a great job with Tony Hawk, and it's like, I'm sure that they probably would have been able to make the next Tony Hawk game. And then it's like, nope, you're kind of just stuck making remasters forever until the end of time. Sorry.
I do want to say, because there was all that controversy with Sony Bend, right? And Naughty Dog.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading an article. Apparently, they are working on a new IP now. So I'm sure that that's part of this as well. So
oh,
I'm
yeah,
interested
absolutely.
In that too.
Yeah, me too. So we'll be, of course, keeping our eyes out. And I'm sure that we'll be seeing some really cool games coming from PlayStation Studios here soon. TM. Hey, everyone. Brandon here on a late Friday night. I'm editing episode number 64 of the Nerd Stash Show for thenerdstash.com. And while we were recording, we did have some technical problems to where that we basically had to create a second part of the show that was only about 20 minutes long. We covered the Ubisoft earnings call and the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, basically our excitement level, our hype for that game. And unfortunately, there were some further technical problems that are unsalvageable, and so I've made the executive decision to cut this episode short, still about an hour long, so still plenty to listen to. But basically, this is going to be it for the week. I'm going to wrap it up. So I've always got to say thank you so much to Taylor for coming on the show and, of course, creating the show notes. And also thank you to Gabe for stopping by. Gabe is, of course, a new addition to the Nerd Stash crew, and I think he's been doing a great job, and I hope that everybody that's listening to this is enjoying Gabe as well. So with all that being said, thank you so much to everybody who is still here listening to this. Hope that you appreciated the show, the episode here, and we should be back next week with, hopefully, fingers crossed, no further technical problems. So once again, thank you to Gabe,
Thank you to Taylor. Thank you to everybody that has been listening. And of course, stay safe and take care.